Well, good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Praise the Lord. What a joy to be together in this new year of 2011. I have been looking forward to sharing with us all this morning. And just on New Year's Eve here, we had our young people, 25 and older, at our place for the evening. And it was just a real joyful time. Plus, my birthday's today, so if I get beside myself up here, why, you just bear with me. So anyway, I do have a message on my heart, so let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. I'll start reading in verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Now to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought up other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. I'll conclude reading there. The message this morning that I'd like to give is, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. And thinking of the new year here, and with, you know, we have aspirations, we have goals, and, you know, we're focused on new beginnings perhaps in our lives. And, you know, I just like to give a message this morning of anticipation for what God would have, for what God would want to do in our hearts and in our lives, in our families, in our church. I was, during Christmas here, we got together with my extended family. And, you know, just looking back over over the year 2010 here, As I thought about what, you know, what God has done in my heart, there's been an increase of joy in my life this last year. I can testify to that. There's been an increase of joy, and the falterings in my life are becoming less. And I thank God for that work of grace in my heart. But anyway, with my family there, I was just so blessed with my mother. As some of you know, I went through a depression, and She just shared with me that day. She said, you know, Dad and I have been talking the last number of years that Mel is Mel again. And that just so blessed my soul, blessed my heart. And so I thank God that, you know, He's doing a work of grace. I trust in all of our lives to increase our joy and to cause us to prosper and progress in our Christian walk with Him. So enter into the joy of thy Lord. The vision of this message is threefold. Maybe there are those this morning who aren't experiencing the joy of the Lord. I trust this morning that through this message, hope and expectation will rise in your heart, that you likewise can experience the joy of the Lord in this year of 2011. Then maybe there's those who are experiencing the joy of the Lord. And this year, you know, maybe God would have you to experience more fullness of joy. And that this would be a year that would be your experience and you would be giving out this joy to others. And thirdly, there is a well of joy awaiting those who have never tasted of it and who have never dipped themselves in this river of joy. So that's the burden of the message this morning. So let's turn our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah chapter 29, we'll start here with the first point. For those maybe here this morning who are in a place of despair or hopelessness, maybe this new year has entered and you're still in a place somewhat of discouragement and you don't have a lot of hope for this new year. There's not a lot of joy in your heart this morning. Well, I trust that through this message, somehow the joy of the Lord will arise in your heart. Hope will begin to somehow come into your soul, and you'll be at a place of rising up in your spirit to receive that what the Lord has for you in this year. But anyway, Isaiah chapter 29, verse 17. Is it not yet a very little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest? And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the terrible one is brought to naught, and the scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off. That make a man an offender for a word, and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate, and turn aside the just for a thing of naught. Therefore thus saith the Lord who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob. Jacob shall not now be ashamed, neither shall his face now wax pale. But when he seeth his children, the work of mine hands, in the midst of him, they shall sanctify my name. Yes, they shall sanctify my name and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob and shall fear the God of Israel. They also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine. You know, there's an ever-increasing faith and awareness in my heart that God is working powerfully. And we're coming forth from this last year or two of tribulation and some trials we've gone through as a congregation. And I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged that God is bringing us forth. God is doing a good thing in our hearts. Here it says, yet a little while and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field and the fruitful field a forest. And I must say, I have tremendous visions and dreams in my heart for us as a congregation in this year of 2011. I'm excited. I'm anticipating God to do great things among us, to take us on into greater heights, into deeper depths of His love and of His grace operating and flowing in our hearts and lives as His people. You know, this is kind of in the context here of Israel having gone through, you know, having walked through, how should I say, they were in a state of sinfulness, and I'm not sure exactly it was a prophecy here that Isaiah was giving. And I know that we've had things to work through here, but I just like to mainly focus in on the prophecy and on what Isaiah shared here, that a little while and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field. So this morning, down in verse 19, the meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. So this morning, brother and sister, maybe you're in a place, maybe there is some discouragement in your heart, but arise. It says here that the meek shall increase their joy, the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. You know, as God brings us forth, as God is working and throbbing in our midst, I trust that there'll be an increase of joy in your hearts, in all of our hearts together. But especially I'd like to draw out you who are at a place maybe of discouragement this morning on this first point. Allow yourself to be drawn out of that discouragement, realizing that God wants to increase your joy in this year of 2011. He desires you to be able to rejoice in the Holy One of Israel, to be at a place of great joy and rejoicing. The other evening on New Year's Eve when we had our youth 25 and older at our place, I mean, there was just such joy. I was just so, you know, and I trust that somehow the joy of the Lord, that well of joy, that you can see it this morning. Somehow through your spiritual eyesight, somehow if you're at a place of discouragement, you can see the joy that God wants to give you in this year of 2011. And here it even says the deaf, maybe there's those here this morning, I'll get to that point a little later. Maybe you are still deaf. Maybe you're deaf to hear the words of the book. But open your heart. God wants to open your ears. He wants your eyesight to be given back to you, or to be given you if you've never been saved, or back to you if you're backslidden. Anyway, the meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, for the terrible one is brought to naught, and the scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off. And I believe this morning that God is working to bring us through some of the tribulations and trials, and that He's cutting off the terrible one, He's bringing him to naught, His scorner is being consumed, that scorner, the enemy of our soul. And that God is going to do a beautiful work in this year of 2011 to increase our joy. But anyway, for those of us who may be discouraged or hopeless this morning, cast your eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes, like it says, like we heard in the through our brother Adam and his family. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. He is that well of joy. Okay, let's turn to Psalms 51. Psalms 51, maybe this morning you have sinned against the Lord, and you know you're at a place of sin, and you somewhat, maybe it's a besetting sin that you continue to fall into, and you're at a place this morning of just kind of despairing. And now you're discouraged, and you're just, you know, you're giving into that sin. You're just kind of at a place of discouragement, feeling like it's no use to fight any longer. Brother, sister, if you're at that place, if you know that you have sinned, heaven over your life is no longer open and your conscience is no longer clear. David says here, I acknowledge my sin. I acknowledge my transgression. Verse 3, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. And then look at verse 8. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Brother, sister, God wants the joy of Christ. The Lord is waiting. He's waiting to once again fill your heart with His joy. With His joy, His peace, His fullness of life that is in Christ. So I just want to encourage our hearts this morning. If you're at a place where you know there's sin, come to Christ. Come to that well of joy. And just acknowledge your sin. Like we heard our brother this morning, acknowledge your faults and your failures and your sin. Christ's desire is to restore unto you the joy of your salvation, to give you back that free spirit that you once experienced, to give it all back to you. to restore unto you the joy. He wants to open up that well of joy and just pour it out upon you once again. Maybe there's no joy in your life because of hopelessness, despair, and unbelief. Chapter 40 of Psalms. Chapter 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. You know, here David found himself in some kind of horrible pit. I'm not sure what for pit he was talking about there. But he found himself in a place of a horrible darkness. And yet his testimony is, I waited patiently for the Lord. And, you know, think about those. How many know about those miners in Chile that were rescued about 3 months ago? You know, think of those miners. They drilled down through the earth about, I think it was half a mile, almost half a mile down through the earth to get to those miners. And in getting to them, they realized they were alive. And in that, but in getting to them, they realized it would take a month or two to make a hole big enough to rescue him. Okay, so the message was given to them. The message was given to the miners that rescue, help is on its way. You're going to have to wait. It'll take a 2 to 3 month period of time. There they were, down in that horrible pit of darkness. Now they could have been down there, you know, in a frenzy, screaming and clawing and just in despair. You know, thinking it's, you know, we're in this horrible pit. It's dark. It's hopeless here. There's no use that I live any longer. You know, even though the word had been given, they could have been at that place of just saying and been hurting themselves and hurting others around them because of the despair that they would have been in. They were told rescue was on its way. And those miners chose to believe it. They chose to believe that rescue was on its way. They chose to believe that there was help coming. They ate, they drank, they did everything in their power to keep their physical bodies in shape and their spirits in a place of hope. They hauled away the That's another thing. When the big drill was going down, I read in the newspaper that, you know, there was going to be all kinds of stones falling into this pit. I mean, into this mine, and they physically would have to carry these stones away from to keep the hole clear. And brother, sister, I'll come back to that point. Let me just go on here. You know, they hauled those stones away. They hauled them away. They did all they could in their power to maintain in their hearts and spirits, to retain hope in their hearts and allow themselves to just wait for the whole process to take place. Did their day of jubilation come? You know, I can still see the picture in the newspaper. Their day of jubilation came. Their day of total freedom. Their day when they were completely out of that pit. And in fact, today they're telling others across the world about it. Just like the analogy here. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. But anyway, you know, there is that need when we're in a horrible pit. There is that need when we're in deep trials and tribulations to retain our spirit and to maintain our spirit in a place of hope. The promise has been given, just like those miners received the promise that help is on its way. The promise that's been given to you, my sister, to you, my brother, who may be in a horrible pit this morning, that help is on its way. But David says, I waited patiently for the Lord. Just like those miners, they waited patiently. They waited patiently for the whole process to take place. They were not down there screaming and clawing and in despair and hurting themselves and others, but they waited patiently for the whole process to take place. They hauled away the stones of doubt and fear and unbelief. You know, that's what we're tempted by often when we're at a plate, when we find ourselves in a horrible pit. We're tempted that there is no help. There's no way out. There's no way that there's no way that I can receive, that I can be delivered out of this thing. And we give in to unbelief and doubt and discouragement and sometimes despair. Those men in that mine, they kept removing those stones of unbelief and doubt and despair. They removed them. They kept them out of the hole. They kept them away from the hole. They hauled them off. And I want to encourage our hearts this morning. If you're in a place of deep trial and tribulation, and you find yourself in a horrible pit this morning, God's promise is that help is on its way. Help is on its way. David says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry, and delivered me and brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it. Just like those miners, many saw it and they're telling their story across the earth. Many will see it in your life and also put their trust in the Lord because they've seen the deliverance that God has wrought in your life in the midst of your deep valley, trial, and tribulation. Okay, one more point on this. Psalm 68. Let's turn there yet. Here it says, Psalm 68, verse 8, or verse 7. Verse 7. O God, when Thou wentest forth before Thy people, when Thou didst march through the wilderness, Selah, the earth shook, the heavens also dropped at the presence of God, even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby Thou didst confirm Thine inheritance when it was weary. Thy congregation has dwelt therein. Thou, O God, hast prepared of Thy goodness for the poor. Just like to elaborate a little bit here on another area that sometimes we fall in need in our Christian walk, and that is weariness. Sometimes maybe you mothers with homeschooling and all your responsibilities in the home. And maybe with the various responsibilities we carry as fathers and mothers. Sometimes we get weary or just simply get weary in our Christian walk in the battle against sin. And sometimes we love to dwell. Here it says, when Thou wentest forth before Thy people, when Thou didst march through the wilderness, the earth shook, the heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself shook at the presence of the Lord. Sometimes we love to dwell where there's great things happening. You know, where the earth is shaking and things are moving and we see God's power and might displayed. But then sometimes, and that's what sometimes happens, just like the children of Israel, you know, they experienced mighty things in the wilderness. Moses struck the rock or spoke to the rock and water gushed forth. Manna came out of heaven. They saw great and mighty things. But there's in our Christian walk, there's also the necessity to see day by day that we have a Christian walk to walk out. Sometimes it's mundane through that wilderness. So it was hot. It was dry. Extremities and temperatures. You know, in the wilderness, I was told, I read somewhere recently that, or my wife, I guess, shared it with me, that in that wilderness where they were going through, you know, the temperatures went down to basically freezing at nighttime. It was cold. I remember Jeremy sharing that about the Sahara Desert. When they went over, they hadn't taken enough clothes along. And it gets cold in the nighttime, but then it gets very hot in the day. Dusty, dry. And that's sometimes our Christian experience. We walk through wildernesses in our lives. We walk through the day-by-day mundane, the usual, the normal, you know, just there's that need to press in and plod on, even when the days are dreary and the sun hasn't shone for a while. God says here, He has prepared to send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. God has prepared of His goodness. He has prepared of His goodness for you. And He will give it in due time. He will give that, He will open up that goodness to you that He's prepared at just the right time to meet your need. To meet that need of your heart that is becoming weary or that is becoming tired. So I just want to encourage our hearts this morning. You know, sometimes in our weariness we lose our joy. I do. I've lost my joy because of weariness. And I just want to encourage our hearts in this year of 2011 that God will come through on time. That you can maintain the joy of the Lord. Even in times of weariness. Times of plodding and times when things just, you know, you don't see the great and mighty miracles. But you're trudging through that desert floor. God will meet your need on time. He's a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. He wants us to learn to abide in His presence, even in times of weariness, even in times of trial. Says the hills melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. The mountains flow down at His presence. When we experience hills, mountains, stay in the presence of the Lord. They'll melt before you as you stay in His presence, abiding in Him. Your joy will be increased as you quietly wait on the Lord. The day will come when a new song will be put in your mouth, especially for those I'm talking about who are in a horrible pit now. Keep your hope in the Lord. Stay upon the Lord. Gaze upon Him, like we heard a few Sundays ago. Okay, point two, for those who are experiencing the joy of the Lord, for those who are at a place, they're experiencing the joy of the Lord. My prayer, my heart is that this would be a year of fullness of joy in your hearts, and yea, that joy would be given out to others. Let's turn our Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. I'll read verse 9 here through 12. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshaza, and Ezra the scribe, Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. You know, we worked through some things as a congregation this past year. We shared hearts together in regards to the direction we desire to go as a congregation. We shared together in the Word of the Lord. And I trust that this has been a year, that the past year has been a year of understanding the Word of the Lord. I believe in a major way we've understood what you know, the words that were declared unto us. Nehemiah's command was, well then, rejoice. Rejoice. If you've understood the word of the Lord, rejoice. Allow yourself to be at a place of rejoicing. You know, this is really a scripture that is very profound here. You know, the people had heard, okay, the people were hearing Ezra the scribe. Here, this was after the walls were built. All the people, it says in verse 1 of chapter 8, all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning unto midday. Before the men and the women, and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. So here it was, right after they had built the wall, Ezra was giving out the word. Ezra was reading from the law of God. He was, and there was others that were helping to give the sense and helping the people to understand the word of the word of the books of the word of the law that was being given. And you know, as the law was being shared and read, the people began to weep. They began to weep. Now, isn't that, you know, couldn't we say, okay, the people were weeping, you know, because they were hearing the book of the law, they were hearing about needs in their own hearts, and you know, wouldn't that have been an appropriate time for them to weep? But it says that they stilled the people. Nehemiah and the others working with him that taught the people said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God, mourn not nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the word of the book, when they heard the words of the law. So for some reason, Nehemiah, and I'd like to give some thoughts here this morning. For some reason, Nehemiah did not, the heart of God was for the people to not be in at a place of weeping. But they were rather to be at a place of rejoicing. Why? Why did they still the people in this way when they began to weep and to grieve and to mourn? Well, I'd like to share with us this morning. It says in the verse. Let me say this yet. It says in the end of verse 12, all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. You know, you might say this morning, there's too many needs in my life. There's too many needs in our midst. How can I rejoice? How can I even rejoice in this year of 2011? Too many needs. I see too many needs in the congregation, or too many needs in my family, or too many needs in my life, in my own life. You know, when you think about it, verse chapter 13, let's turn there for a minute. Chapter 13, in chapter 13 of Nehemiah, this was after the book of the law had been read. This was after there was a time of great rejoicing. In Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 4, it says, Elisha, the priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of our God, was allied unto Tobiah. And I won't take time to go down through the chapter here, but what I want to bring in is, and then verse 10 to 14, there had been a forsaking of tithing. There had been a forsaking of giving to the priests, to those giving oversight. In other words, there was a forsaking of giving of the offerings and tithes that were due to God and to His work. And then in verse 15, in those days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in sheaves and lading asses. And then in verse 23, in those days also saw I Jews that had married wives of Ashdod, of Ammon, and of Moab. And so there was, the point I'd like to bring out this morning is there was still great needs in the congregation. There was still great needs in that time of rejoicing, in that time that Nehemiah commanded the people to not weep nor mourn, but rather to rejoice. There was still great need. There were still many needs in Israel. And please understand me this morning. I want to make myself clear, first of all, that I'm not endeavoring to excuse sin. And secondly, that we even have sins among us to this degree. But rather, when we see sin and need, that there can still be a rejoicing in the Lord. There can still be a joy of heart. And I believe that Nehemiah's heart was, he wanted to help the people to see the need of removing, how should I say, the heart of God was that there would be not a heaviness coming over the people in this whole thing. And sometimes we're tempted with that, or we give in to a heaviness when we see needs in our own lives or that of our families or our church body. Brings upon us a heaviness. And we're heavy when we go about, when we then minister to our family or minister to a brother in the congregation or a sister. We're at a place of heaviness because we've lost the joy of the Lord. We've lost the joy of the Lord. And that was the command of Nehemiah. He commanded the people very clearly on the onset of the cleansing taking place in Israel that there was to be joy in the midst of it all. There was to be rejoicing. There was to be a sense that there wasn't just an awful heaviness about the whole thing. Did they fast? Did they pray? Yes, in chapter 9 even. If you read here in chapter 9, it says, "And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers." There was a time, and verse 1 says, "They assembled in fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them." This was after this time of rejoicing and joy. That then there was a time when there was confession of sin and fasting and confessing their iniquities. And then later on, a complete removing of the sin of Israel, the sins that they were involved in. A complete cleansing. So brother, sister, the point here is I'd like to exhort us this new year. Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them whom nothing has been prepared for. That's the point. I'd like us to draw us into a place of joy and expectancy and hope in this new year of 2011. God has purposes for all of us. He desires to remove us from a spirit of heaviness, but to be in a place of joy and rejoicing. Yes, even as we may have things to work through as individuals, families, and as a church. But the joy of the Lord. And that's another thing here. And in fact, it says, "For this day is holy unto the Lord." There's something Nehemiah was bringing out that is unholy when we're at a place of heaviness. That's what he's bringing out, I believe. "This day is holy unto the Lord." He says, they stilled the people so that they wouldn't be at a place of mourning and grieving. And apparently, it was an unhealthy grief that was beginning to come over the people. And they said, "This day is holy unto the Lord. Weep not." Neither be ye sorry. Then it says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I believe Nehemiah wanted these people to be able to walk through this purging and cleansing of Israel in the joy of the Lord. Because it's our strength. First of all, like I said, it's unhealthy to be at a place of heaviness. Of Christ's burden is His yoke is easy and His burden is light. It brings upon our homes and families. If we're at a place of continual heaviness over needs in our lives, our church body, our family, it brings the heaviness over the family, over the atmosphere. And thus, it brings, in essence, an unholiness about it. An unholy atmosphere somewhat comes with it. And then secondly, it zaps us of the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength, brother, sister, in this year of 2011. The joy of the Lord is your strength, your spiritual stamina in this year. As you walk through this year, realize that, you know, I must retain my spirit in a place of hope and faith and joy. Because it's my very strength to walk through situations that I may face in this year. Yes, you may face tribulations and trials. You may face things that come your way that are difficult. Let's retain our spirits in a place of joy. And if you do falter, if you do fail, like I said, I still falter at times. My Christian walk. Let's get back up again and get that joy right. You know, let's allow that joy to come right back in again and flood our souls once again. There's not a heaviness that you bring over your home, over the church, over your own life. Eat the drink. Eat the fat. Drink the sweet this year. Eat the fat. I believe we could say enjoy the fullness of God and His Word. Enjoy the fullness of God in your life. Enjoy. Enjoy His fullness. It's your Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom. Enjoy it. Eat the fat this year. Eat of God's purposes and will for your life. Take in the Lord. Take in the riches of the glory of your inheritance in Christ. Take it in. It's yours. Eat the fat. Go your way. I like those first words there. Go your way. And I'd just like to speak that to you as a congregation, us as a congregation. Go your way, brother, sister. This year, eat the fat, eat of the fullness of God. His Word and His, and enjoy your God. Enjoy Him. He takes pleasure in those who love Him and who enjoy Him. And who serve Him cheerfully, not out of duty or drudgery or eat the fat, drink the sweet. Drink the sweet, I like to say, enjoy life, enjoy God's creation, friendships, your family, your church body, even your job. Enjoy life. Enjoy it. It's yours, it's ours to enjoy. It's given us richly all things to enjoy. Drink the sweet. Let this be a year of joy and rejoicing over what God has given you and what God is doing in your life and in your, you know, just the fullness of God that we experience. And just simply His creation and in friendships and things, natural and material things around us. Drink the sweet. Then send portions unto whom nothing is prepared. You know, don't reach out until all of your needs, all of our needs are taken care of as a church body here. They were told not to wait. Their sin had not yet been purged. That confession in chapter 8, chapter 9 had not yet taken place. But already they were being told, go, give. Send portions unto whom nothing has been prepared for. So brother, sister, I just want to encourage our hearts this morning. Don't wait. just because there's needs in your, as you see needs in the church body here and think, well, you know, and again, if you allow heaviness to come over you, there's not much to give. There's not much to give. But if you can maintain your spirit in a place of joy in the midst of working through things as a congregation and seeing needs in our church body or in your family, you retain your spirit in a place of joy. You have something to give to reach out to a lost soul in your community. A neighbor at your back door. Send portions unto whom nothing has been prepared for. Brother, sister, at least you have been given something. You've been given something. Maybe you feel like you're lacking, but you've been given so much more than many around us have ever experienced. Send portions. Send portions of that joy. You know, as you maintain your spirit at a place of freedom from heaviness, you'll have joy to give. You'll have a portion of joy to give to another soul. Give out to a needy one. To give out to a lost neighbor. To give out to one who is in despair. You'll have a portion of joy to give. If we're heavy, we have very little energy to give to others. Okay, let's go on here. God wants us to work through our difficulties and problems and issues in life in joy and peace. And then, you know, again, lastly, they understood. They rejoiced not because everything was taken care of, but because they had understood the words of the book of the law. If you have understood this past year, some of the things we've worked through, rejoice. Let your heart be filled with joy as you enter this year as we've already entered this year of 2011. Okay, then lastly, there's a well of joy awaiting those who never yet have tasted this water or taken a dip therein. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12. My dear friends, you know, the other evening on New Year's Eve, I was just, you know, again, the joy of the Lord just welled up in our hearts. I believe all those who were there can testify to that. I mean, we just had a blessed time. And for you, for those of you who have never experienced this well of joy, it's open to you this morning. It's open. It's open to you to take a long, cold, refreshing drink from and be satisfied. Isaiah 12. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and is my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord. Call upon His name, declare His doings among the people, make mention that His name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for He hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. I just want to encourage you this morning, if you don't know Christ, if you're at a place where you have never drank from this well of joy, you don't know what you're missing. There's a well of joy, if I can just place it right here in the spiritual sense. It's awaiting you. It's awaiting you, that well of joy. That God, Christ wants to fill you with His joy. His joy for living, His joy of life, His joy of being able to enjoy life, eat the fat and drink the sweet as well. And have some to give to others. He wants to so fill your heart as well with But this joy, there's a well awaiting you right here this morning. A well of joy. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. But verse 2 comes first. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. There's a necessity to believe in Him, to trust in Christ. And in doing that, you'll experience that well of joy gushing up within you. It's a well of living water within that is inexplainable. You can't explain it except Christ causes it to gush forth from within, spring forth. You'll be able to as well declare that the Lord has done great things in your heart. Declare His... verse 5 it is. Sing unto the Lord, for He has done excellent things. You'll be able to declare the great and mighty things of God that He's done in your life as you drink of this well. Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth. If you're thirsty this morning, to take a long drink from this well of joy. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Let it delight itself. You never have experienced Christ. Your labor is going for naught. Your heart is not being satisfied. Your heart is not satisfied with the things that you're partaking of. Jesus has a well of living water this morning and saying, ho, if you're thirsty, come. I have a well of joy that you'll be satisfied with. Come to this living fountain of water, to this well of life, to this well of joy, to joy unspeakable and full of glory. Don't spend your money and your labor anymore for that which satisfieth not. You know, eat the fat, drink the sweet. You'll be able to experience the fullness of the Lord as well, just like we shared earlier. You'll be able to enjoy life in a new way. Behold, old things will pass away. Behold, all things will become new. Do you want a new beginning in your life to this year? Today, as we have just entered into the new year. Come to that well of joy, to that well of living water that Christ has prepared for you. It's prepared. It's all ready to drink from. But the key word is come. It says, come ye. Come ye. Come ye. He that come ye, buy and eat. Buy milk and wine without money and without price. So there's a necessity to come. And furthermore, in verse 3 it says, incline your ear and come unto me. Hear and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for He hath glorified thee. Not only will you eat the fat and drink the sweet, but you also have portions to give to others. Portions of joy and portions of living water and portions of the experience that you've had in your life and soul. You have a portion to give to another. You have portions to distribute. It says here that people will come running to thee because of the Lord thy God, for He has glorified thee. Do you want God's glory? Do you want to experience God's glory in your life and have a drawing effect on the world around you? And then as they come, having a portion to give. Because your cup has been filled with joy. Your cup has been filled with the abundant life of Christ. My sinner friend, there's a well of joy awaiting you. It's right here. It's waiting. It won't you come? The woman at the well. The key word there was ask. I just want to read two scriptures from there. There it makes mention of asking for the living water. John chapter 3. You don't have to turn there. And John chapter 4. Here it says, if thou knewest, Jesus said in verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Then in verse 15, the example is given that the woman actually asked. She did ask and then receive. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. So basically, it's come and ask. Come to me, Jesus says. Come to me. As you come, as you bow low at my feet, ask me for that living water. And I'll cause it to gush forth from this well of joy that I just want to pour out upon you. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. The church here says, come. The Spirit says, come. Let him that heareth say, come. We're saying, come. Come drink of this well of joy. And experience the joy of the Lord in your life in this year of 2011. Experience a new beginning. A well of joy. Not the surface things, but a well of living joy with depths and meaning and purpose of life within it. Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Okay, let's turn back to Matthew 25 in closing. Matthew 25, you know, each one of us, if we're going to go on with God, or even if we just now are entering into God's kingdom, are going to find, as we enter more deeply into this river of joy and this river of the Lord, that with that comes more responsibility. With that comes more responsibility. Here in Matthew 25, the man with the 5 talents, the man with the 2, they were given, because of their faithfulness, they were given more responsibility. So the one that had 5 talents because of showing himself faithful with those 5 was given 5 more. Or he earned 5 more, whatever. But anyway, he had 5 more talents. Yes, and then the master's word to him was, I will make thee ruler over many things. That's the word that I wanted. With faithfulness comes more responsibility. I will make thee ruler over... You've been faithful in a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. And I still remember when I was ordained here, a brother not from this congregation, he really blessed my heart. He just shared, you know, Mel, you've been given more responsibility. And he said, enter into the joy of thy Lord. With more responsibility comes more joy. As we're faithful in that responsibility. And that so blessed my heart, and I can testify to that, especially the past few years, that I have joy in ministry. So let's realize that this coming year may bring added responsibility. You may find yourself, because of your faithfulness and your walk with God, God will add to you more. He will add to you more responsibilities. But here this Lord said, I will make thee ruler over many things, but he says at the last, enter into the joy of thy Lord. This is a joy that I'm giving you. It's a joy. These added responsibilities are my joy to give to you. And he says, enter into that joy. So I just want to encourage our hearts this morning. Maybe we shrink back from responsibility. We shrink back from this. You know, you think in your mind, if there's more responsibility, how can there be more joy? And I don't understand all the dynamics of that, but I can assure you, both from the Word of God and my own experience, that it's true. So enter into the joy of thy Lord. As God gives you more responsibility in this year of 2011, enter into His, be a partaker of that joy of His in giving it to you. Same with the man with the two talents. You know, he only had two talents. It's faithfulness that God is looking for. He only had two talents and only added two more talents. But he did the best he could with what was given to him. And the same thing was pronounced over him. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. So if you feel this morning, you know, I just have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I don't have much to give. Give that which you have. Be faithful that with what you have. And you'll experience the joy of the Lord in this year. And you'll find that there'll be more talents. You'll find that that as you're faithful with what you have, you'll be experiencing more talents in your life. You know, more talents will be given to you. And it's all, you know, And as that takes place, as we continue to be faithful, we can enter into more and more of the joy of the Lord, even in added responsibility. John says, 1 John, he says, these things he's written unto us that our joy may be full. Let's enter into this joy of our Lord. Let's make this a year where there is fullness of joy in our own hearts, in our families, and in our church body. And yea, may our cups overflow unto those whom nothing has been prepared for. Brother, sister, let's go into this year of 2011 with joy. A heart of rejoicing. A heart of expectancy, hope, and faith. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. God bless.
And the congregation says, amen. Amen. Let's enter in. Praise God. That was for me, Brother Mel. I just thank the Lord for that word to my own heart. And I think of very Nehemiah talking about, to not weeping. I think that was probably Mel because sort of maybe a weeping of discouragement and a despairing. But rather that we go forth in joy. And I think of how God in His times of dealing with Israel and how He sent them forth when they were to win a great victory, He sent the singers first, you know, and to go with joy and rejoicing. And I can say in my own heart, when I'm discouraged, when I'm in heaviness, it's hard to give portions, you know, because out of our own experience. So I take this for my own life, and I say thank you, brother, for sharing that word with us. We'd love to just hear from you this morning. If you have something on your heart you'd like to share, raise your hand, and we'll get a microphone to you. Word of edification, of blessing. Maybe pray for me. I want to enter into this next year with joy. There's a hand up here. Thank you, brother. Raise your hand so the ushers can get a microphone to you so all can hear and be edified. Thank you. Yes,
I would just like to say amen to the message and thank you, Brother Mel, for the excitement that's coming out of your life. And I want to just share and testify to you all that last year, 2010, was probably the greatest year of my life in entering into that joy. And it has. I I could go for hours. But it started in February when I surrendered and repented of my sin. And I believed God. And today, I am rejoicing. I am again excited. I have dreams and visions, and I really don't know what the Lord all has for me throughout this year. It's not that everything's well, and you know, not everything's the way that it should be, but I know that the Lord is He's my strength. He's the joy. I mean, I'm just excited about it. And I've also learned a few things in there in James 1. It says to count it all joy, and I've learned to do that. I'm learning to do that, and I believe there's something hidden in there that if we don't do it, we're going to miss it. So I just praise God this morning. I'm excited about what the Lord's going to do for me throughout this year yet. It's not because of the things that I possess, but it's because of Him that Amen. I have this.
Praise God. God bless you, Brother Elmer. Thank you for sharing that word of faith. Yes, where's the other microphone? Okay, go ahead.
I just want to tell you that I got born again in July, and please pray for me.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We rejoice with you, and we pray for you. Amen. Is the other microphone somewhere else? Praise the Lord. All right, in the back, Sister Stein, go ahead.
I also just wanted to say I felt like the messages, both of them, were just for me. I'm not sure how to put into words what is on my heart, but the year 2010 has been a year of blessing for me, a challenging year in some ways. But I feel like the previous year was a year of God doing some deep work in me personally. This past year has been a year of growing and bonding with His people and of Him. Really working a work in relationships and letting go of some things that I was expecting before. The thought of rejoicing and the joy of the Lord is really fits well with some things that God is doing in my heart right now in being able to relax, enjoy, and really receive His blessing in very positive ways. And I want to thank both of the brethren for being willing to be used of the Lord this morning.
Amen. God bless you, sister. Someone else have the other microphone? No? Ye shall go out with joy, shall be led forth with singing, praise. Amen. Praise God. Well, it's such a joy to be together and worship our Lord together and be exhorted from the heart of our Father to enter this new year with our gaze upon Jesus, looking full in His wonderful face, and to trust Him. Amen. Is the other microphone somewhere? I don't want to miss anyone. Okay.
Well, I just had a sweet revelation on a walk the other day, I was walking along and just seeing how blessed it is to have just a small property and not these gaping fields to take care of, because the small property has less responsibility. and how the privileges that we have, with increased privileges come increased responsibility. So I was rejoicing in that I didn't have a lot of yard to take care of. I liked the amount of yard that I have. But then I just looked at the other side of it. With increased responsibilities comes increased joy. And I know that as well, just thinking of it in relation to when we had one child, how much joy we felt. And it was just so exciting to see all the little things she was learning to do. And now with our 10 children, how much increase there is in the joy. Mm-hmm. And it was just confirmed to me this morning.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Isaiah 35, verse 10. The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Well, thank you all for sharing. And let us go into this new year with our faces set upon our Lord Jesus, the captain of our salvation, and walking in the joy of the Lord. Amen. Full of faith in the good things that God has in store for us, for those who trust Him. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.